KJAN, Radio Atlantic.
At 7:06, it's partly cloudy and currently 14 degrees. We look forward to be partly cloudy to cloudy today with a high around 38. Good morning, I'm Rick Henson with KJAN News, brought to you by Cass County Health System, Cass County Memorial Hospital in Atlantic. In Southwest Iowa News, the Adams County Sheriff's Office is asking for your help in finding a man wanted on a warrant for two counts of attempted murder. Authorities say on January 12th, a 911 call was placed to the Adams County Sheriff's Office with regard to shots fired in the 1500 block of Quince Avenue. The suspect was identified as Dylan Allen Paul Lester. Authorities believe Lester was in possession of a firearm and fired multiple rounds at the victims. A vehicle matching the description of the suspect vehicle was located along the road in Des Moines later that same day. The vehicle contained spent ammunition and a blown-out back window. Deputies made contact with Lester and a female shortly after the incident occurred, but he was uncooperative and has since been unable to be reached. Lester has previous felony convictions, and authorities say he should be considered armed and dangerous. He's believed to be hiding out in Des Moines, but also has connections to Creston and Algona. Recent photographs of Lester, including images of his tattoos, can be found in this same story on the news page at KJAN.com. Anyone with information about Lester's whereabouts can call the Adams County Sheriff's Office at 641-322-4444 or your local authorities. If you see Lester, do not approach him and instead dial 911. Officials of the Creston Police Department this morning said three people had been arrested on separate charges Tuesday. 57-year-old Rodney Earl Bell of Creston was arrested late Tuesday morning at his home on two outstanding warrants out of Union County. Bell was being held in the Union County Jail on a $2,000 bond. Tuesday afternoon, 33-year-old Michael Eugene Matherly of Creston was arrested for assault on a peace officer. The charge stems from an incident that took place in the 300 block of North Spruce Street in Creston. Matherly was being held on a $1,000 bond. And 46-year-old J. Eldon Raines of Creston was arrested Tuesday evening for violation of a no-contact order. He has since appeared before the magistrate and was released on his own recognizance. Creston police said also a man residing in the 500 block of Wyoming Avenue reported Sunday that someone vandalized his vehicle by means of large scratches in the paint. The incident happened sometime between 5:30 and 6:45 p.m. Sunday while that vehicle was parked outside of the man's residence. And last Friday, a man residing in the 700 block of North Oak Street in Creston reported that his garage had been broken into. The loss was estimated at $400. Items missing included various drywall tools, various electronic equipment, some mail, and other miscellaneous items. In local news, representatives of the Atlantic School District's Education Association, representing the certified staff, and the Board of Education met Wednesday evening to present their opening proposals with regard to the collective bargaining process. Speaking on behalf of the Education Association, its president, Mike McDermott, explained that their proposal includes a $300 increase to the base salary, or a total of 3% package increase.
Some of the rules and regulations have changed over the years, but that's the traditional schedule we've used since, I believe, 1974. That's what our members are comfortable with. But we are open to, analyzing their schedule as well.
For its part, the Board of Education proposes a base increase wage for 2021 of 1.68%. Their alternative compensation model is in lieu of the certified schedule in the current master contract, Board collective bargaining attorney Emily Ellingson explains.
At the end of last year's negotiations, we all agreed that we would have in place an alternative compensation model for these negotiations. And based upon kind of the work that the association and the district has done regarding, bringing in other school districts to talk to them about the models they're using, reviewing those models, talking about it through the labor management committee, it sounded like the consensus really was to go with something along the lines of this model, where you have a base wage that's then each individual lane, educational lane, has its own base wage, and then the increases each year are reflected based upon that base wage.
The district also proposes making changes to the distribution of the TSS, or Teacher Salary Supplement Funds. Ellingson said that change will result in no loss of money for any employee sitting on the current salary schedule. Some employees will see a significant increase in the combined salary from the TSS redistribution plan, but again, no employee, she said, will experience a loss in the combined salary. The district also proposes a two-year agreement, but the Education Association wasn't prepared to discuss that right away. Mike McDermott said Wednesday night was the association's first look at the district's proposal. That's something they'll take back to their union members to examine the numbers and conduct their own calculations. He said the district's salary schedule proposal is based off a flat dollar amount.
Any mathematician will tell you that a flat dollar amount doesn't necessarily help some of your of veteran teachers. And also we have what's called a step increase. So you get a little bit more when you're a younger teacher, you drop down a step and receive a few more funds. We think that's important. I know when I was a young teacher, it was important to get that to help put food on the table and get some gas in the old pickup. So that's important to our people, and we're going to, you know, continue to move forward with that.
The step increase would be eliminated in the district's proposal. Now, both sides will meet again in a closed session at the middle school on March the 18th, beginning at 3:30 p.m. In the meantime, they'll continue to crunch their numbers. And the district's non-certified staff collective bargaining unit and the Atlantic School Board will present initial contract proposals this afternoon at 4:30 in the middle school conference room. In the funeral announcements, Bruce Prine, age 72 of Carson, died February 16th in Texas. A funeral service for Bruce Prine will be today at 11 o'clock at the Lus Hills Funeral Home in Carson. Jason Geisinger, age 37 of DeSoto, died February 17th in Colorado. Funeral services for Jason Geisinger will be tomorrow at 10:30 at the Johnson Family Funeral Home in Stewart. Betty Lou Christensen, age 90 of Audubon, died February 22nd. Funeral services for Betty Lou Christensen will be this Saturday at 10 o'clock at the Brayton Lutheran Church. Kessler Funeral Home of Audubon has arrangements. Zachary Russell, age 26, who's formerly of Guthrie Center, died February 13th. Funeral services for Zachary Russell will be Saturday at 10 a.m. at the First Christian Church in Guthrie Center. Twig Funeral Home in Guthrie Center has arrangements. Kim Ferry, age 68, of Earlham, died Sunday near Winterset. Celebration of life services for Kim Ferry will be Saturday at 10:30 at the Earlham Community Building. Roland Funeral Service in Atlantic has arrangements. Esther Jeanette Messerschmidt, age 92, of Avoca, died Sunday. A mass of Christian burial for Esther Messerschmidt will be Saturday at 10:30 at the St. Patrick's Church in Neola. Hoy Kilnoski Funeral Home of Council Bluffs has arrangements. Mary Ann Brandt, age 85, of Manning and formerly of Manila, died Tuesday. A mass of Christian burial for Mary Ann Brandt will be Saturday at 11 a.m. at the Sacred Heart Church in Manila. Odie Funeral Home in Manila has arrangements. Cheryl Lynn Shoemaker-Peterson, age 71, of Casey, died Saturday. A graveside memorial service for Cheryl Peterson will be held this Saturday at 11:30 at the Dalmanutha Cemetery in rural Casey. Johnson Family Funeral Home has the arrangements. Dorothy Eggers, age 90, of Omaha, died Wednesday at the Parsons House. Funeral services for Dorothy Ann Eggers will be held on Tuesday at 11 a.m. at the Trinity Lutheran Church in Avoca. Paulie Jones Funeral Home of Avoca has arrangements. Melvin Burnett, age 95, of Greenfield, died Sunday at the Greenfield Rehab and Healthcare. Services for Melvin Burnett will be held at a later date. Steen Funeral Home of Greenfield has arrangements. And Richard K. Rainey, age 90, of Atlantic, died Wednesday at the Heritage House in Atlantic. Services for Richard Rainey are pending at Hockenberry Funeral Home in Atlantic. The news was brought to you by Cass County Health System, Cass County Memorial Hospital in Atlantic. I'm Rick Hansen reporting.